One of my most favorite verses is this verse. Isaiah 59, verse 19. Everyone say Isaiah 59, verse 19. This is what it says. It says, when the enemy comes in. Did you get that? There are seasons in your life. There are seasons in a church where the enemy comes in. This is the original. But like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. When you think you're under attack, God is mounting a flood. Can you imagine what it was like as the nation of Israel that just walked through the wilderness for 40 years and they come to the River Jordan? Remember the story? And the priests put their feet in the River Jordan, and the Bible says that the river began to bank up. Come on, I'm going to get you excited tonight. It's like, God, is this ever going to change? God, are we ever going to get out? And somebody steps into the river, and the River Jordan begins to mount up. Can you imagine the volume of the noise of the water? It wasn't just like, well, there's a pathway in the river. No, as the river was coming down, there was a dam, a supernatural dam that God built. And it's like this river began to mount and mount and mount and mount. And so there are billions of tons of water held back by a membrane of God. Come on, there was a big noise beginning to amass as this water was massed up, and the children of Israel walked through where there was no way to walk through. And then at the end, when God gave the command, the flood was released. I want to tell you tonight, there is noises and challenges that go on in our lives that God is mounting a flood for. Because when the enemy comes in, like a... Oh, you haven't got it. I'll try this side. Like a... Come on, like a... Like a... The Spirit of God raises us there. But when we're under attack, it's like we get all so natural. We get all so head up. We get all so kind of, well, we're going to do it in our own strength. No, when the enemy comes in, God begins to hold the water until it's time. And then he speaks to the membrane and something breaks. But before it breaks, I want to tell you, God's preparing something in you. 8 weeks ago, Marie was in the UK speaking, and I was at home. It was a Saturday afternoon, and we're in the middle of winter. I watched a bit of sport. I was getting depressed. My wife wasn't here. Saturday afternoon, all the boys were out doing something, and I thought, what could I do? And I thought, you know what I could do is I could take the shopping food money that Marie left me for the next 2 weeks and go to the local sports store. How many believe that was a word from God? So I took off to what was Rebel Sport, and there, close to where we live, is a shopping center with lots of car parks. And I was thinking, I'm just going to the sports store and I'm going to buy something. As I got out of the car, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a guy running flat out across the car park. And do you know what? As I said this morning, when you're running, something's happening. And I thought, you're not running to your car, you're running too quickly. And then behind him, I saw a security guard running behind him. And you know, in a split second, you see a guy running, and then you see a guy in uniform, a security guy, running behind him. I thought to myself, this is my moment. You got to understand what a pastor's life is like. You've always got to be nice and good. And there are people in church you just would love to hit sometimes. And yet God says, you're not allowed to. And here I am in the park, car park, on a Saturday afternoon going to the sports store. And this guy's running. Obviously, he's done something wrong. So in a split moment, I make a decision. I'm going to deck him. So as he runs, he's about two cars away from where I am. Out of the sight, I came running towards him, and I put a stiff arm out, and I hit him as hard as I could hit him. And as I hit him, he kind of came back. He was about 6 foot two, and he was a guy with big muscles. And he went to hit me with his elbow, and supernatural power, I ducked. The security guard came running after him and tackled him around the waist, and I pushed him over, and then another security guard came running. He fell on his face, and he had his arm around. I put my knee in his back. I pulled his arm right up his back, and I was pushing. He was using words I've only heard pastors use. He said, I didn't bleep, 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 do anything. And I'm thinking, I don't give a rip. This is my God-given opportunity. This is a true story. And then another security. There were three security guards that's holding this guy down. He's fighting. And we got him contained. I had his arm up his back. The security guard got his arm and lifted it up. And I said, are you boys going to be all right now? They said, sir, thank you. I said, not a problem. And this guy's still swearing, I didn't do anything. Then one of the security guards showed us he actually was using his mobile phone in the shopping center taking pictures up girls' dresses. Thank God for a stiff-arming pastor. You know, when you do that, you walk away. My chest. Actually, there were about 20 people that had come out of the sports store and another place called Briscoe's in New Zealand. And they were stood, and as I walked past them, they began to clap. And one guy said, that was brilliant, mate. I walked into the sports store. I felt so good about life. It was like, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you know that when the enemy comes in, God is about to stiff arm? There's an amazing chapter that is very challenging, and we find it in Exodus chapter 33. God speaks to Moses, and tonight I want to talk about the presence of God, the wonder of the power of the presence of God, how God wants us to realize that He is actually amassing an onslaught that's going to take out the enemy. But it's not flesh and blood. It's not by might and power, but it's by His Spirit. And I do believe prophetically it's a message for some people here tonight. It could well be a message for the church that actually the challenges are not the issue. Did you get that? Your challenge is not the issue. Even the church's challenge is not the issue, and yet we attack the challenge. No, we don't need to attack the challenge. We need to penetrate the membrane that is amassing the presence of God, the flood that God is about to release that's going to wipe out the noise of the enemy. And here in Exodus 33, God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to depart and go up from here. You and the people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt, and I want you to go to the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. In other words, God says to Moses, I'm going to take you to a new level. I'm going to take you to the promise of your fathers. And I will send, verse 2, angels, and the angels will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I want you to go to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But then these words, but I'm not coming with you. I'm not going to be in your midst because I would consume you on the way because you are actually a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned and no one put on his ornaments. But the Lord said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked. I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments. What's your ornaments? It's your glory. It's your strength. That I may know, says God, what I should do with you. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp. Listen to this, far from the camp. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of the Meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was, whenever Moses went out of the tabernacle, all the people rose, and each man stood at the door of his tent and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. It's an amazing thing that the next generation are going to be people that want the presence of God more than the power of God. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but God, you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people." And God said, "Okay, Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then this classic verse, verse 15, we have on the screen. Then he said to him, Moses said to God, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here." It's the presence of God that unlocks the will and the way of God. Moses came to this point and he said, "God, you're amazing." If you do an analysis of verse 1 to 3, you'll find that God said, "I promise you will achieve your destiny." You imagine tonight if God spoke to you individually and said, "You know what I promised to do with you? You need to know tonight, I'm signing in my own handwriting that you will get your destiny." Most of the church would get excited knowing that they would get their dream. Then he went on and he said, "Not only will I give you your destiny, I will give you supernatural outcomes. I'm going to send an angel with you. Not only will I give you supernatural outcomes, I'm going to actually give you provision, a land of milk and honey. Your promise, I'll give. Come on. My power, I'll give. And my provision, I'll give." And the church has got all caught up on these three things. You know what? All we need is a greater touch of God's blessing on our lives. All we need is the power of God. All we need is the provision of God. But Moses said, "You can give me promise, you can give me power, and you can give me provision, but that's enough, because I realize if I don't get your presence, your problem is not the problem. Your problem is a lack of the presence. And God is mounting a flood with a membrane, that God is saying, I want somebody to pierce the membrane. And the noise of the water is going to crash over the noise of every problem, every disappointment, every weakness. Moses said, if you don't come with me, you know, we can do life without the presence of God as long as we have a good Sunday. We can do life without the presence of God. This is true. If we see the power of God released. But I want to tell you, God wants a generation of people that are going to be hungry for something more of God than we've ever seen before. That we're going to release the stiff arm of God to take up our enemy. Come on. That actually God's going to come with power and authority, but it's not our power and it's not our authority. Leaders all over the world get off on the wrong thing. They get themselves in a fix. They get themselves backed into a corner. They get themselves into a place where they're needing a breakthrough, and what they do is they turn up the natural energy. Now what we've got to do is realize when the enemy comes in like a flood, God is going to raise a standard against it. Who's going to break it? Moses understood something that many of us don't understand. You know, in Acts, Peter stands and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. At the beginning of this year, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Paul, the trouble with you is you can do so much. If you were to step back, I would step in. Come on. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says God. Hey, Moses, I'll give you your promise. I'll give you a demonstration of the power. Hey, I will give you provision. Even if we got half of that, the church would be ecstatic. But Moses understood something we don't understand. No, 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 God. If your presence doesn't come, we will not go from here. You say, well, how do we release the presence of God? Three thoughts that release the presence of God. First is we need to make the presence of God our priority. You see, in verse 13 of Exodus 33, Moses says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now. Oh, I got to get excited. If you were here on Saturday night, I talked about the power of today. This is not a message for next week. It's like Moses said, no, you are going to become my priority. Now, the authority of the now is the authority of God to do a miracle. We so get caught up with procrastination in the church. One of the great Christian ailments is procrastination. God says, I'm not waiting till you're good enough. I'm not waiting till you feel like, okay, you're worthy of God. Grace and mercy come when there's an open heart. And you know what Moses says? Now, right now is the time. I'm going to make you my priority. Now, I'm not going to consider what happens and what's going to take place around me and all of what people think. Now, you are now. Now. You know, there was an old recipe I read recently about how to make a rabbit stew. This is what it said, how to make a rabbit stew. First key, first catch the rabbit. Some of us want all of the formula. We want all of the theology. Listen, I want to tell you something. You want the presence of God, you've got to make Him your priority now. Get it now. Here I am, God. I'm trying to do it in my own strength. My own arm is trying to break through, God. But you're the one that's amassing the waters. You're the one that's got this flood that's building. And I'm telling you, I'm ready for you right now, God. I'm absolutely, absolutely committed to who you are, the authority of the now. I love this quote. You may have heard it. The opportunity of a lifetime. Listen to this. Lives within the lifetime of the opportunity. See, we want a breakthrough, but actually there is a time around the opportunity. And God says, I want your priority. I don't want you just to fit me in when it works for you. No, I want you to realize that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6. I love the power of the now. We've got to start as Christians turning our priority schedule around and not just giving God our titbits. Do you know somebody did a research on a person living to the age of 75? And they said, if you lived to the age of 75 and you had 24 hours in every day up to 75, you'd spend 3 years total, 24 hours a day in school. You'd spend 7 years eating. In America, that might be about 17. 14 years you'd spend working, 5 years driving or riding in a plane. 5 years talking endlessly, nonstop, 24 hours a day. You'd spend 1 year recovering from sickness. You'd spend 24 years sleeping, 15 years amusing yourself. Now, if you went to Sunday every year from the year 0 to 75 without missing a Sunday, you'd only spend 5.5 months in church. Oh, God, I can't get it all in. I love what David said in Psalm 27, verse 4. He said, one thing have I desired. Come on. And that will I seek after. If I said to you, what's the one thing you need from God right now? I wonder what your answer would be. I said, I wonder what the answer would be. If like a genie, God came and said, you've got one wish, what would the wish be? This is what David said. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the front of the TV. I would dwell trying to fight the enemy. One thing I would do is I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold. What a revelation that is. You know, is he your priority? Some of you are saying, well, you know, I got a busy world. Would you pray for me, Pastor, and try and get my life sorted out? No, pray for yourself. Of course I'll pray for you. But you know what? Everything else is our priority, and then we wonder where the presence of God is and the victory is. When was the last time you actually turned the TV off for a week? Ow. When was the last time you said no to food for a week? When was the last time you went up onto a mountain like Moses did? And so touched God that the glory of God so shone from him he had to put a bag over his face because it was so bright. The priority of God is the first thing that's going to break through the presence of God. We've got to actually renew our priority like never before. It's like the precious pearl. We sell all to get it. If you don't make God your priority, I want to tell you, you're not going to receive the presence. It's hard to walk up the mountain and find God, but when you leave everything else behind and you say, God, here I am, I'm going to make you my priority. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. God, now I want your way. This week, next week, I'm going to come to you like I've never come to you, because priority releases presence. The second thing is proximity. When he becomes your priority, then like verse 11, so the Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. See, the distractions of everything else in our world take us away from who God is. Do you know that sin blocks us from actually the proximity that God wants for us? Hello? Tonight, if you've got sin in your world, it's stopping God. But not only sin, it's what I call soul dominion, is what stops our proximity with God. It's what happens in our soul area. You need to make God your priority, but you also need to come into proximity. Did you notice what Moses did? Moses, the Bible says, actually pitched his tent outside the camp. And he set up the tabernacle of meeting, and he would go to his tent, which was outside the camp. And as he went to the tent that was outside the camp, the presence of God fell. You can't do a 24-hour normal life and living and expect the presence of God to come. You've actually got to change the proximity. And the only way you can do it is get outside of your camp, whatever your camp is. You've got to get outside of the noise of what is in your normal world, and you've got to begin to say, God, here I am. God, I want you to break through. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There has to be the removing, not just of sin, but of soul dominion. Now, some of you need to get this. That's why I've written a book on insecurity, because insecurity is one of the big soul enemies. When you read the Bible, it says it separates the soul and the spirit, because the soul is where your disappointment lives. Your soul is where your failure lives. Your soul is where distrust lives. Come on. Your soul is where feelings live. And God says, if you allow those things to rule you, you're actually going to be removed from the presence of God. You need to make me your priority, but you also need to make me your proximity. So you've got to get outside of all of those feelings and the things in your world. And as you get out and you get close to me face to face, then the presence of God begins to rumble behind the membrane, and it's about to break through. Come on, somebody's going to get this. And the flood of God's presence begins to intervene. Do you know that right through the Old Testament, there was a veil between the glory, the Holy of Holies, and the holies? And God allowed the veil to stand to tell man that sin could never enter the presence of God. And the high priest would come in once a year, pay the sacrifice for the nation's sin. And he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he was a forerunner of Christ. But when Jesus died, I want to tell you what happened. God the Father was waiting for the response of Jesus. Not only was he to give God priority, but he was coming into proximity, and God, I believe, got off his throne and he walked down to earth and he put both hands on the top of the veil that had stood there for 4,000 years. And he says, I've been waiting for this moment, because the presence of God is what releases the power and the wonder and the authority of God. And God the Father, as soon as Jesus said, it is finished, he ripped it from the top right ways to the bottom. Oh, come on. And man could actually access the presence of God for the first time. But whatever God releases, the enemy again forms. And in the heart of every human being, God showed me this last year, there is a new veil that's being erected. It's called the soul veil. And what happens is, because God has removed the veil between the spirit and the soul, between the presence and our humanity, through faith in Jesus, God ripped it, and now we can access the presence of God. The enemy knows how powerful the presence of God. So in your world, he is erecting another veil. It's called the soul veil, which is made up of the threads of what I just talked about: insecurity, disappointment, distrust, failure, and all of those little threads are weaving together. And now there is another veil that's keeping the presence of God from your soul. And what we need to do is realize that God can't rip that veil. We are the only ones who can. Come on. Because God knows, the moment we are born again, we are embodied the fullness of who God is. We don't just get a little bit of God. The moment you're born again, the DNA, the sperma of God lives on the inside of you. You have got the full presence of eternity living in your spirit. And the enemy knows, if you were to access the presence of God that is already within you. Oh, come on, this isn't a message. I'm almost going to get off the stage because I'm getting worked up. That God's saying, you know what? The enemy knows the power that is already within you. And so he's blocking you with all of the things around you. And that weaving of that thread has now created another veil so that he can keep the God that's in you from moving through you. And you've got to put your hands on the soul veil and say, this is enough. I'm coming face to face with God. And I'm not going to let my disappointment, my failure, and the things in my world. I've never heard it from anyone else, but I reckon it's a book in the making. Soul veil. Because some of you are riddled, you're talked to, you're controlled by your feelings, your emotions, by the disappointments and the things that are around you, the negative talk of people around you. Each one of them are a thread. They catch another thread. And before you know it, you've housed the God that's come to you on the inside of you, and he can't penetrate who you are. God's saying, come on, there is a building of the power of God. God, despite all of our weakness, is wanting to come and smash it and open us up. Break through in the holiest of holies. Come on, I need the team with me right now. Come on, Pastor Dave and the team. Because we need to make God our priority. And we've got to get into proximity with who. We've got to say, God to God, I'm going to get away from all of the stuff I'm feeling. I'm going to get away from all of the stuff that keeps telling me lies, all the stuff that keeps reminding me of everything I've lost. And I'm going to get out of the side of that camp, and I'm going to build a tabernacle of meeting. And whenever I go to the tabernacle of meeting, the presence of God is going to come and descend. And all the people around are going to stand in the door of their tent, and they're going to begin to be energized because they want the presence of God, just like I've got the presence of God. Because your answer is not your flesh and blood, it's the stiff arm of God. Come on, where's the team? Come on, Dave, you better hurry, bro, you'll miss it. Where's the rest of the team? Come on, all the musicians, come and join me. You see, you need priority, you need proximity. I tell you, the third key to bringing the presence of God, it's praise. You say, how do I get outside of my camp? I tell you how you get out. You say, I'm not listening to that rubbish in my head anymore. I'm not listening to the negative words of my upbringing. No. You know, all of that's a veil the enemy wants to use. But I'm going to put my hands on the veil, and tonight, woo, I'm going to begin to put some tension on this veil that the enemy has used. And I'm going to say, no, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, God. God, if you don't come with me, I don't care if you bring power. I don't care if you bring provision. I don't care if I get to my destiny. I need your presence. Some of you need to know that God's presence is the answer to everything in your world. I was with an Asian group in our church. They said to me, Pastor, would you come? We've got a 10-year anniversary of our Asian ministry. I said, I think I might be preaching with the youth or something. They said, oh, we really want you to come. I said, what are you doing? They said, we're having a Chinese meal. I said, this food is there. They said, yes. I said, I'm coming. Forget the youth. I go to this banquet. There's a couple of hundred Chinese, maybe more. And do you know Asian people, by and large, are not always, you know, the most assertive people, but very diligent. And I sat down and we were at the head table with the leaders and we honored them. Young guy got up. He was the MC of the night. And he said, my privilege to be the MC tonight. We're celebrating 10 years of Asian ministries here at Life. And he says, I want us to do something that we do as Asians. When we go to a wedding, we have this thing where you white people call it a toast. But he said, in our Asian culture, we do something called Yum Sing. And I'm listening to what he says. He said, Yum Sing goes back to the Chinese warriors. Before the warriors would go to war, somebody would lift the glass and they'd go, Yum Sing. And I'm going to the person next to me, what does it mean? The guy went on to explain. He said, Yum Sing, if you don't understand it, because you're not Asian, means victory is ours. So he says, I want you to stand. So everybody stood at the start of the night and he said, on the count of three, we're going to Yum Sing. And he said, one, two, three. And they went, Yum Sing. And I'm sitting there going, flip, I've never seen so many animated Asians in all my life. But as the night went on, it got louder. Louder. By the end of the night, somebody's toasting something. Yum Sing. Because the longer and louder the yum is, the greater the victory. Some of you tonight need to realize God is looking for you no matter how thick your veil is. Come on the count of three. One, two, three to go. Yum! Pathetic. One, two, three. I can tell a spirit that doesn't praise because they're under the circumstance. They're speaking about what's not happening. We need a Yum Sing, because the enemy knows that when we begin to praise, the veil, the soul veil begins. The membrane begins to tear because it's about priority with him. It's about proximity and it's about praise. Your problem needs to be praised over. Your challenge needs a spirit that says, this spirit within me is the spirit of the Almighty God. Jesus is Lord, and all the stuff that's around it is trying to keep that in, but no longer is it going to stay in because Jesus ripped the veil. The Father ripped the veil at Calvary. I'm going to rip the veil and I'm going to walk out of this place free, ready to praise, ready to take hold, ready to leap, to take hold of the things of God. Come on. Paul and Silas in prison. Midnight. What do they do? Oh, it's tough in ministry. They began to sing. They began to praise. The Bible says the earth was shaken. They actually mounted an earthquake from their praise. I can't get into the story for sake of time, but this. Not only did they get free, everybody that was within their proximity got free. There is something that happens when you praise in your family, in your workplace, where you study, where you live, in your church that happens. You lose the spirit of praise because we allow the obstacle become the focus rather than the presence. One, two, three. Yeah! God, you haven't got it. Come on, even the musicians haven't got it yet. Come on. Yeah. Come on, all over this place tonight. Serious. You go, Paul, the reality of my situation is I feel like the enemy's coming. Well, I want to tell you, Jordan is amassing. Because the enemy is not the authority. And God knows the enemy's trying to get you. It could be sickness. It could be a wayward child. It could be a lack of finance. It could be just an attack that's sent from hell. Don't you worry about the demons. Release the presence. And you've got to say, God, you will be my priority. You don't come. You know what God said? My presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. You imagine if we left this place this week, His presence was all over us. We wouldn't give a rip what was happening. Because He's Lord. Come on, all over the building tonight, again in the rooms at the back. You feel like the enemy's come into your situation, your world. We're going to praise tonight. We're going to sing a song that's going to release. Dave's going to lead us. But I want you to stand to your feet in a moment if you know the enemy's come into you and into your world in some way. And you're saying, Paul, tonight I'm going to say, God, I'm going to take my tent, my world, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to camp outside. And you will be my priority, my proximity, and I will praise you. Come on, you need a breakthrough in your life right now. If that's you, stand up wherever you are. Come on, right through the building. Come on, we're going to sing something. Dave, you lead us. Lead the team. And we're going to just declare, maybe just a song of worship. Let's do that just for a moment. Come on. And I want you to lift both hands. And you're going to break the veil that's been over your world. What the enemy has told you is a lie. It's not of God. Come on, we've got a few moments tonight. And we're going to say, God, in fact, everybody in the house, yeah, we need to stand. And we're just going to say, God, this is our moment. Come on, let's lead and let's sing and just say, God, here's my heart. Here's my circumstance. Here's my world. And just give it to Him as we sing together.